Philippines. I went to Myanmar this fall, shared the book with some other men, and we taught it over the summer at the Siemens Mission during our devotions over and over again. And something that hit me very strongly that I do not believe is understood around the world, having the privilege to speak to a lot of people around the world who work on cruise ships, they don't understand their position in Christ. And without understanding your position in Christ, you're going to default and go back to law thinking. It's going to be the right and the wrong, the do's and the don'ts, and you're going to strive to be accepted before the Lord. But once you understand your position in Christ, you're complete in Him, and you walk in that renewed position with an understanding of that, then from that, out of that, you can worship the Lord in complete acceptance before Him. Then you can serve the Lord in all of the grace provision that He provides for you. Otherwise, you end up riding or carrying this burden every day to perform, to achieve, to accomplish, to become accepted. Once you're totally complete in Him, you can enjoy that completeness in all aspects of your Christian walk in life. And in Colossians chapter 2, I'd like to read verse 9 and 10. Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Now, this is a declarative statement. This is not something to accomplish. This is not something to strive for. This is a statement of absolute fact. Therefore, we rest in it. We accept. I am complete in Him. Thank you, Lord. I am complete in my Savior. Now, what does this mean? Here we go. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. Complete means to be totally full. It means to be fitted out. It means that you cannot add or subtract to who you are in Jesus Christ. So when we think about this, we can look at this completeness kind of as a sandwich in these two verses. For in Him, Jesus Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's declaring His deity. That's declaring who Jesus Christ is. He is God. You are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Now, I understand Pastor Dave has been teaching on angels lately. And when you come up here to the principality and power, I believe that's referring to angelic beings. So not only is He God, but He's the head over all angelic or spirit beings. And right sandwiched between that, He makes a reference, you are complete in Him. Now, anywhere you look around, you are not complete. On your job, you're not complete. You have a year-end review. You may do well, you may not do well. You are not complete in Him. 34, going on 35 years of marriage. We have some work to do in our marriage, you know. We're so close to perfection. Wait, that's a lie. We're doing okay most days. Yeah? No, but we're not complete in Him. So you look in the mirror and you look at yourself, I'm not complete. But I look at the Savior and I say, He is God. He is the Almighty. And we're going to see in just a second at the beginning of Colossians, He declared to be a lot more. He's head over angels. And I am complete in Him. The prepositional phrase refers to my association in union with Him. I am in perfect union with Jesus Christ and complete. I need no more and I will never lose what I have. I am complete in Him. Now, you can just say it this way. I'm complete in Him. I like to apply it to myself. And then you can put on either side of that a different introduction. Because I am complete in Him. Or for you are complete in Him. Now, what this does is it helps us to bond with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to come right back here to Colossians, but I'd like you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. I'm just going to look at a couple of verses here that associate us in Christ. Now again, why is it so important to understand this? Because once we understand our position in Jesus Christ, then everything we practice by faith flows from who we are in Him. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." If anyone, so male, female, old, young, Asian, American, European, it doesn't matter your culture background, whoever you are and you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, that means you, the sinner, place your faith into Him, God, who became a man and died as your substitute on the cross for you, paid all your sins. Now at that moment, you're born again. The gospel message. You are now a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's positionally. That's who you are in your standing before the holy, righteous God. I am new. Now, in my thinking, it's becoming new over time as I let the Word of God filter into my mind, then my thoughts can be new like God, then my words can be new, my actions can be new from that position and that association with Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. So now we are a new creation in Christ, we are complete in Him, we've looked at, and in Ephesians 1:3, which is probably memorized by many of you, it declares that we have our spiritual blessings in Him, and actually we have every one of them. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places," there's our prepositional phrase at the end of the verse, "in Christ." Defining Him. In Christ, we have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So when I can say I am complete in Him, that means I'm a new creation. I'm a new one, a believer, born again into Him. When you see you are complete in Him, you have all spiritual blessings or every spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Around the Bible study, we have different economic statuses. We might have a large income in our work, our salary, or we might have a low one. We might live in an apartment. We might live in our own house. It doesn't matter. In Christ, we are equally wealthy. In fact, my opinion is we are the wealthiest people on the face of the earth. The thing is, it's cashing in on that wealth by faith. Accepted in the Beloved, forgiven in Him. Now, whenever I struggle as a Christian, and I struggle, that introduction I want to hide. It's like, who is this guy Dave Knutson is talking about here? Famous, what? But when I struggle in my own Christian walk, I want to go back to my position in Christ. I don't want to go back to my behavior or my, how was I doing last week? Oh man, that's a discouragement. Look in the future, I don't have much hope. But when I go back to my position, I've been struggling, I've been stumbling, or I've been driving on the roads in the Twin Cities area, and I've had a little road rage, right? Somebody told me the other day, when you're driving your car, you're not too far away from carnality. It could be a momentary road rage reaction to the people around you. You're on hyperdrive in the Twin Cities. We come from Seward, Alaska, 3,000 people, summer may be triple that or so. Zero stoplights in the city. So we come here and it's a hyperdrive. Yeah. If I give them six car lengths as I'm slowing up, someone's going to move in there. But what's my point? My point is this. No matter you look around you in your behavior, your thoughts, your past, you're going to find incompletion. But in Christ, in your position, you are fully fit out. You are everything that God can give a human being. wrapped up in the Savior, Jesus Christ. When Adam and Eve were created and God had fellowship with the garden, they were complete with God. But the moment they fell, sin entered the world, a sin nature, and now their status before God fell. Jesus Christ has brought us back to a complete standing before Him, even better than Adam and Eve. We are complete in Jesus Christ. We're associated with Him in an infinite way. So when God sees Scott Johnson, He sees Jesus Christ. He sees me wrapped up in perfect union in Him. Now, this is designed, I believe, by God for us to have success in a very corrupt world, in a place where my sin nature wants to take me far away from God. But when I realize I've died in Him and I'm a new creation in Him, now I can walk in Him. Please turn to Romans chapter 6. All these verses Pastor Dave has taught over the years here, but it's just a little devotion before we look at some slides and some pictures tonight. Chapter 6, verse 4. Romans 6, verse 4. And he says this: "Therefore, we were buried with Him, Jesus Christ, through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So the baptism of the Holy Spirit places us in Jesus Christ. Then we need to learn to walk in Him. That walk is a walk of faith. It's an abiding walk with Jesus Christ. It's a step-by-step walk. And it's a walk that is, in a sense, a walk as Christ would have us to walk here through the New Testament Scriptures. What it is it's a living out who we are in Jesus Christ. Is it easy? No, it's supernatural. The Holy Spirit must give us that ability, and we walk by faith in our Savior and what we have in Him. So when the trials come our way, or when the failures come our way, we want to default back to who we are in Jesus Christ, whether that requires confession, whether that requires turning to Him by faith, whether that requires a renewing of our minds as we've been struggling or so forth. You always, though, want to go back to who you are in Jesus Christ. And Colossians is written to believers who are succeeding, but it's a written book that says, I'm going to warn you and I'm going to teach you. I'm going to warn you and I'm going to teach you. And it all flows out of their position, complete position, in Jesus Christ. Now, would you please go back to Colossians again? And I'm going to try this pen and see if I can get it to work here. Pen. Let's see. Oh, I'm going to go back. There we go. Right here on the side of it. Okay. There we go. Let's see. There is technical possibilities here. Now, you know this diagram, I believe, but when we are in Adam, this is where we were born, in Adam. Boy, is that lousy writing. Oh, you're born again. Excuse me, you're born first time into Adam, your physical birth. You're born into here. So everyone starts in Adam. And the moment we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, then the Holy Spirit takes us through the cross in baptism in Him and places us then in Christ. Now again, this is not a physical place. You can't go somewhere on the face of the earth and say, this is in Christ. This is in Edina tonight, right? So we're in Christ in a spiritual sense. It's a spiritual association. It's something that can never be taken away from us the moment we are born again into Him. So this is our spiritual birth, born again in Jesus Christ. And I could get into lots of detail. But the point is this is a new life. Here we are associated with Adam in death. And it says that the moment we're born again, we go from death into life. So now we're really living. We have the Holy Spirit. We have a new nature that takes us and draws us to God. The Holy Spirit there, that's what that is. And so now in Christ, we are complete. It means full. It means needing nothing. We are complete in Christ or in Him. When we die, we will go to heaven. You can't stop that because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are going to be with God through death or the rapture. Now, in Adam, you will go to hell and you can't escape that. Why? Because there's condemnation here. There's death and condemnation. In fact, Romans 5, 11 through 21 shows in Christ, in Adam, one is death, one is life, one is condemnation, one is eternal life and justification. And then the key, though, is once we are in Christ, it's our position then leads out into our life, or I'm going to say walk. Walk by faith. Or we saw just a second ago, newness of life. So whenever I'm discouraged, I like to go back and turn back to who I am in Christ. I am complete. I am totally victorious, Romans 8 says. If I look at my past actions or behavior or track record or batting average or so forth, I can get discouraged or self-righteous, right? But when I look to the Lord, this is completely an issue of grace. Wow, thank you, Lord. This overflows into appreciation, gratitude. Thank you, how complete I am. It's totally because of your work on the cross, Lord Jesus. I'm born again. I'm accepted in you. I have complete standing before you. And because I am in Christ, I will go to heaven. That's our security in Him. And when I know it, based on the Bible, that's my assurance of this. This is the hard part, isn't it? But as you allow the Word of God into your mind, into your thinking, into your decisions, into your priorities. I think since 1981, in April, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, I have had the privilege of hearing good Bible teaching every year. And that Bible teaching, or that grace-oriented Bible teaching, should address my priorities, my decisions, my values, my preferences, and I should be saying, as Christ did, not my will be done, but your will be done, Lord, and you yield over to Him in newness of life, and then the walk gets a little bit easier and easier as you develop habits and patterns and dependence upon the Lord. After you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good and you've walked in that good-tasting newness of life, it's like your first cup of the coffee in the morning. Maybe you like it flavored, or like me, I like it black. You know, you take that. Oh, that's good. That's good. That just starts my day right. Okay? Same with your position in Christ. Taste and see. Oh, that's good. I'm complete in you, Lord. Never to be condemned. Never to be judged. Never to be cast out. I am complete in Him. Thank you. And if you don't like coffee, maybe steak or maybe fresh salmon on the grill or something that you really like to taste. That's good. Because what happens is some people, they don't even go back to this, who they are. They then try and strive harder, do more for the Lord, and accomplish more. And when you succeed, then you get proud oftentimes. But your position is so grace-oriented that you can come back, recalibrate, and then take off in one step at a time to serve the Lord in your sphere of influence and so forth. Now, what I'd like to do here is take this complete in Him that we saw and go to a few verses. Let's go to verse 1:13 in Colossians, and you'll see He takes, first He prays at the beginning for 12 verses, and then He starts to orient them to Jesus Christ and lift Him up in their minds. Do you do that very often? Do you say, Lord, You are so awesome? I like to do it on a sunrise. When you see the sunrise, Lord, You are so awesome. You are faithful. This declares Your faithfulness, the sun rising and the sunset every morning, or the new moon about, or the full moon about a week or so ago. It was just beautiful. It was just about zero in Duluth, and Beth and I went for a walk, and there was no moisture in the air, and you could just see all the contours with your own eye on the moon. It's like, Lord, You are so awesome. You put a flashlight in the nighttime and a beam during the day so we could see on earth. You are just awesome, Lord. And Colossians does that. He lifts Him up, Jesus Christ. Paul does. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Well, just for the fun of it, that's what this is. He took us here and conveyed us, brought us from darkness to the kingdom of the Son of His love, from death and separation and condemnation to life and freedom and justification and acceptance in Christ. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And so here, we can take that phrase, complete in Him, and bring it up and buddy it with, or partner it with, the statements about Jesus Christ. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, and you are complete in Him. Now, I like to put in a different pronoun, I am complete in Him. So now I'm personally applying this. He is the one who brings us to God, into the kingdom of God, and I am now complete in Him. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Redemption is means we've been purchased with a price. We've been redeemed from the sin fields of this world system. And through His cross or blood or death, I have now complete forgiveness of sins, and I am complete in Him. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, and I am complete in Him. The Creator God, I am now in perfect completeness in Him. Union with Him, never to be changed. From that is how I now serve my God Almighty. All things were created through Jesus Christ and for Him, and Scott is complete in Him. Now, this should put a little jump in your step or in your battery in the morning, just like your coffee does, right? For you addicts like me, huh? You love or adore or need that first sip of coffee in the morning. Tomorrow, if you have your coffee, think about this. And I am complete in Him. Wow. I can't read that in the paper. I won't get that over the internet, most places, but I can get it directly from the promises of God's Word. And we can just add to that. You go down and you see in verse 17, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. That means He holds it all together. He is the head of the body. In other words, He is in charge of the church. He's the leader of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things, I'm going to put Scott's life, he may have the first place, preeminence, before anything else, before all priorities. Why? Because I am complete in Him. I like Jesus going to Gethsemane, and He's before the Lord, and the suffering He knows that is going to come upon Him in His humanity is, Lord, if it's be possible, take this cup away from me, this cup of suffering. But nevertheless, not my will be done, but Your will be done. So if He is the Creator, He's the head of the church, He's the one who redeemed us and saved us, He's the one who sustains us, He should have, by logical deduction, the preeminence, the first place in my life. Before my wife, before my children, before my job, before myself. That's the hardest one, isn't it? Nope, I'm dead. I'm dead to that sin nature. I'm now alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Lord, You get the preeminence today in my life. Once you make that decision in your heart and set the compass of your life, I want You, Lord, to be preeminent, which means He is Lord. You are the Lord of my life. Then the second decision is easier. It's the first one, to say, I'm here on earth as a complete new creation in Christ. I'm here to do Thy will, O God. Now I want You to be first place. The first time you do that and you set your compass, years ago I said that. In fact, I was reflecting with Beth here recently, that when we dated, I said to her, you know, I'm not dating you to marry you. I'm dating you instead to prove God's will. If it's God's will, then praise the Lord, we'll get married. But if it's not, I don't want to get married. I just want the Lord's will in our relationship. And so when you put Him first, He then can lead you more easily. Children don't like spankings. Any children here that like disciplines? They like to go to the control chair. That's what I say. I don't spank my grandchildren. I just say, you see that chair? Go. Sit down. Stop talking like that. Doing this. They go and sit down. Can I get up now, Grandma? You're not supposed to talk. Now be quiet. Aren't I an awful grandfather? I know. That's life. Your boss doesn't say, hey, talk, do whatever you want at work. No, they say, here's your boundaries, here's your expectations, and guess what? I'll pay you for it. Now go ahead and do your job. Just like a kid. I don't want you to behave that way here. Yes, Grandpa. Anyways, keeping. Go to Colossians chapter 2, please, 6 through 8. Great passage of Scripture. In fact, this is the key verses, really, to the book, from 6 till 10. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So what is he saying here with our statement? Because, remember I said we can slip in a word before this and make it applicable to walking in Him. Because God is complete in Him, walk in Him. First command of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 6. It's in the imperative mood or the Greek. It's a will of God command. It's imperative. You can't bypass it. Now walk in Him, Scott. Because you are complete in Him. It makes no sense to walk in Him if you don't have an association with Him, if you don't have a relationship with Him. So I like to say this. The moment I was born again, God took Jesus Christ and He took this sinner, and through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, He united me with Jesus Christ, never to be separated. When I am raptured or I die, I am instantaneously going to go be with God because of my position in Christ. And in that position, I have forgiveness. In that position, I have eternal life. In that position, I have complete forgiveness of sins. So it's logical to walk in union with Him. Walk in dependence with Him. Walk in fellowship with Him, Jesus Christ. It makes sense when we see from our position who we are. It also says here, because you are complete in Him, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit and not according to Christ. So I summarized verses 7 and 8 by saying this. Beware. This is the warning. Beware lest anyone cheat you. It means take you captive as a prisoner. Through what? Philosophy and empty deceit. This is what you get all the time through the Kool-Aid of the world. Okay? My observation is there's two main sources that of Kool-Aid that they're trying to get you to drink out there. One is atheistic science. In other words, we can have anything we want in this scientific world without God. Atheistic. They take God out of it. Secondly, it's a narcissistic psychology. In other words, what we hear out there is self-centered to the point of worship. We're so enamored with ourselves in the psychology that we have. It affects our parenting. It affects our priorities. It affects everything. And it all is directed back towards me. So the psychology that you receive from the world system now, if you don't filter it through the Word of God, and I'm not saying take all psychology and throw it out. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying when it's totally self-absorbed psychology, which is mostly what we're receiving now, then that is the philosophy of this world, and it's empty deceit. There's nothing in it, and it fools us to think that without God in our scientific world, I mean, it is amazing, these computer systems that we have right now in our hand. In fact, it's deadly oftentimes to our youth who can't maturely handle it. And so, not according to Christ. Anything this world offers will take us captive, cheat you, because it bypasses Christ. But since Scott Johnson is complete in Him, I need to walk by faith in Him, abide in Him, hold His hand. Have you ever squeezed your hand knowing God is right there? He says He holds our hand. Now, that's a figure of speech, but it has helped me. The first message I ever preached up in front of the crowd I had right here on the pulpit, Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord thy God, shall hold your right hand, saying unto you, fear not, I will help you. Okay, Lord, my knees are knocking. Everything is dripping underneath here. And I'm trying to be cool as a cucumber and look like a duck, paddle like crazy, but just calm on the surface. Okay, hold my hand. Okay, just squeeze it right there. Now that's for me a crutch or a way in order to abide in Him or walk or complete in Him. Public speaking, you nervous about, or something you have to do. Ladies at a devotion for a woman's shower or something, or whatever. Just squeeze your right hand. Lord, you're right there. Okay, thanks. Take the first step of faith. How about witnessing? Right? Isn't that so hard to open your mouth for Jesus Christ? When I have a fear of man and I won't talk about Jesus Christ, I get ashamed in my heart. It's like, why, Lord, do I keep my mouth shut? Okay, I confess that. Give me boldness, and then you step out, you're with me, Lord, and I love you, and I know I have all this to offer in you. So anyways, in this area of Colossians, we can attach Jesus Christ to everything in our position. In 2:16, it says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. You know, the first part of 16 and 17 are all the Old Testament. Festivals, new moons, drinking and foods and Sabbath days. Those were all preparatory. They were shadows of the reality when Jesus Christ was going to come. So they could see in those festivals the coming of the Savior. They could see in those sacrifices and the Sabbath days. They could see the coming of the Lord Jesus. But the substance is of Christ. So, because, Scott, you are complete in Him, I'll let you apply it to yourself, let no one judge you in what you're eating, what you're drinking, festivals, new moons, Sabbaths. They're all just a shadow of the things to come. But the substance is of Christ. So we can get very legal. That's what judgment is. If you're in a legal church or a legal religious system, everything they judge, whether it's acceptable or unacceptable. And here he's saying, watch out, because the real stuff is Jesus Christ. I am one with substance. Now, years ago, I made this evaluation in my life. I said, now, if I pursue politics. Now, I was drinking in the Kool-Aid of environmentalism when I was 20 years old. I was at school with Todd Perry, believe it or not. Yes, we're both ancient. And we were at the University of Minnesota and Duluth, and they were pumping us with Save the Earth. Hasn't changed much, has it? I wanted to be environmental lawyer. I wanted to be this. I wanted to be that. And after I was born again, and I had to make an assessment. What pathway will I pursue? And I tried to vision way up ahead. If I pursued for 30 years, 40 years, all my effort in political laws to change the environment, what would that be? What would that be? Wow. It's not going to be a large change, is there? What if I invest in, and I numbered and so forth. Finally, it was like, you know what? The more you get of Jesus Christ, the better it is, and the more impactful your life will be. First in your marriage, then in your parenting, then in your neighborhood, in your church, in your whatever realm. The substance is of Christ. And since I am complete in Him, bond with the substance by faith. The substance is of Christ, and you are complete in Him. Now, this isn't complicated, is it? But when we're getting sound bites all day long, every day, it's hard to go back and reflect. That's why taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm complete in Him. And there's substance. For you connoisseurs, coffee connoisseurs, you know a bad cup of coffee, right? Don't be cheating. I paid $3.50 for this garbage. Give me some real coffee. Right? That's what he's saying. Don't be deceived. Don't be led astray. Don't be judged. Go back to the substance, the good stuff, which is Jesus Christ. And you are complete in Him. Now, just a little bit here in Colossians 3, 1 through 4. It's talking about your new life. You were raised with Him. This is born again into the new life in Christ. And you are complete in Him. Therefore, seek. There's the command or the imperative, the will of God. Scott Johnson, you are complete in Christ. You've been raised in Him. It is logical, reasonable for God to have you seek those things which are above. Set your thinking on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't use this world in a wise way. It means I'm not going to live for it. I'm going to seek and set, which literally means to anchor, set my mind on the things above, the things that are associated with Jesus Christ. So you keep going back to these priorities and these instructions by God, and you will have the absolute best life you can have on the face of the earth. Guaranteed. That's what the Word of God says. It's not the easiest life, not necessarily the most pain-free life, but it's the best life that you can experience and have, which then will have eternal rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, this is a factual statement, then, another fact, you also will appear with Him in glory. This is at the rapture, because you are complete in Him. So we'll just reverse it. Therefore, seek and set on the things which will be reality completely the moment we die or are raptured in Jesus Christ. And the whole rest of it is how you do that. It talks first about yourself in Colossians 3, 5 through about 11 or 12. Then it's one another's. Then it's the Word of God. Then it is your marriage. Then it is your parenting. Then it is your employment. So all the things laid out here are how we seek and set those things which are above. But it's because we are complete in Him. It wouldn't make sense to strive to gain all these things, to do all these things, to become complete in Him. No, this is a done deal. I am so complete in Him, I can never be more complete or added to this. I have a standing before God, which is the same standing as Jesus Christ. Not in an imbalance that I'm deity. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that anything and everything God can give me has been given me in Jesus Christ. Therefore, live our lives with that reference, with that mind, with that acceptance and fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Now, this was my devotion today. I just want us to reflect tonight before we look at some pictures and tell some stories. But our completeness in Christ is really what energizes us to yield our bodies over a living sacrifice. And my wife and I have been involved with the Alaska Christian Ministry to Seafarers for the last 7 years. I was associate pastor at Duluth Bible Church in Duluth for almost 14 years. And then this opportunity came up. We believed it was God's will. We packed up our Subaru and drove to Alaska. And since then, it has never been the same. So, but it's the will of God. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. And tonight I want to say this in Acts 14:27. And when they were come to the, it's not the Calvin Christian anymore, is it? It's the Avail. Yeah, that's right, Avail. I looked it up online today. Scott rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Or we're working specifically with people who work on ships, mostly cruise ships now. And Stephanie has been up there the last 2 years. Dave and Kathy, has anybody else been up there? Sandy was there, yeah. Right? Casey was there. Oh, yeah, 3 years in a row, right? Three or four? Yeah, Sandy was up there. So some of the you'll understand. But here we are in Alaska. Here's Canada. This is called Southeast Alaska. Here's Anchorage. Most of the airplanes fly right into Anchorage. Whittier is a small port here where the cruise ships come in, ride the buses up to Anchorage. And here's Seward. The majority of the cruise ships come into Seward, and this is where we live. So people say, oh, you live in Alaska? No, we live in Alaska. Okay? It's a beautiful place, and only cruise ships go to beautiful places. So here's the Norwegian Jewel. This has 1,600 or so crew members, and about almost 4,000 passengers comes into the city. So here's the Millennium. There's different cruise ships. They all look a little bit different, a little bit different sizes, but they're all trying to make the people enjoy themselves through food and drinking and gambling and leisure and excursions and all sorts of activities. But they need people to work on these ships, and those people don't have a place to go when they come into. Oh, perfect. Thank you. You know, that's good. I think so. Thanks, Joey. And so then this is the ship leaving with Pastor Dennis and Nancy were here last year. And they were there for a week. And then they took a week-long cruise down to Vancouver, Washington, or Vancouver, Canada. Here's 5 o'clock in the morning. This is from the front door of the mission. That's how close they are when they come in. Here they are in port. That's our small boat harbor with all the sailboats and the fishing boats. This is a small, we call them peanut ship. This is a National Geographic exploration vessel with about 120 crew members and about 140 or so passengers. Here is in the middle of the summer. We had terrible forest fires last year. Great weather, but it dried up so much that a lightning started a forest fire, and that's all smoke. That is not fog there in the morning. Here's what we had 45, 50 miles away. The mountains were burning quite extensively. What was it? 1 million acres? 2 million? Something like that. Acres. Yeah, burn. They don't try and put them out because it's in the middle of the wilderness. They just try and keep them from burning up businesses and houses and cities. So it was quite extensive last year. Now, this is our board that we have people scratch off their flags. There were 66 flags scratched off last year from different nations around the world. You can see almost all Southeast Asia, a number of places around Africa, Europe, South America, Central America, Caribbean. They all come to the cruise ships to find work in a variety of ways, and they like coming to the Seamen's Mission. Now, this is Bear Mountain, just above the mission here. Here's the mission right there. This is the entire city of Seward, the main part. There's people that live up in the valley up here. But we are at the most narrow part of the city, and here is the cruise ships right over there. 1 mile route from here over, and pick them up all day long, bringing people. We also bring them up to the grocery store there and some other places once in a while. And for those of you who like to fish, those are our fishing spots. 2 blocks from the mission, so I can go fishing before devotions in the morning. Thank you, Lord. And we actually had very good fishing last season. If I hurry, we'll get to some pictures. But anyways, this is paradise. In the sense, 360 degrees, you can see mountains, and the cruise ships love to come in here, and the people who work on them have great needs. They need Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, we are able to minister to over 10,000 seafarers last summer. We believe between 250 and 300 trusted Christ as their Savior, and a number of Christians we also minister to. This is our main little Seamen's Mission there, with apartments above for the volunteers. Here's the green leaves are starting to come out, but the mountains stay with snow at least until middle of July. Here's in the middle of the summer, you can see the green on the mountain. That's the race trail up the mountain, hike up the mountain. And here's the front. My wife did a nice job on the flowers this summer, and God did His increase with the sunshine and everything. So again, very small little thing, but we'll have 120, 160 people go through here on a day. And so when it's that busy, it sometimes is difficult to share the gospel, but the Lord keeps the numbers in check however many wants to come. This is what we'll see when we come back in January 16th. And that's out our apartment back door right there. What do we want? We want a place they feel at home. When they feel at home, they relax. When they relax, they'll share. And we can then share with them. And so it's very key when they come onto the van, we greet them, we're friendly to them. When they come to the mission, we want somebody to greet them at the door, welcome them, show them around if it's their first time. If it isn't, many times they'll give us a hug. They're so glad to be home. You can see the faces. They've got some food on the table, Wi-Fi. They love it all. This is the epitome of coming to the mission. Kick back. No sandals on his shoes. He's on his electronics. He's lost in the time because he's able to then get off the ship from a 12-hour workday, 7 days a week, up to 9 months of in one contract. So they work like dogs and work hard, I should say. And they're very appreciative of what the mission offers, everything by grace. And I just caught that picture. This is what they do a lot of times. They're playing each other over the internet at the mission games. So if we have personal contact, then we can witness the gospel. Show the love of Jesus. Church services on and off the ship. Whatever materials we can put in their hands that sound biblically and they're willing to read, we can impact them. And, of course, physical needs with the internet is very important, and oftentimes whatever goes along with that. This is our motto, in a sense, go above and beyond and make every moment count with the seafarers. This was off of a ship, and so I started to share that on the mission. Let's make every opportunity count to impact them for Jesus Christ. So if you see a person around you at work or neighbor or relative, they're an unbeliever, so you want to make that an impactful time that you're with them. That's kind of what we're thinking the same way. But ultimately, we want them to cross the bridge from condemnation and death to eternal life and acceptance and richness in Jesus Christ. And so it's always faith alone, in Christ alone, and we want to share that with them. How do we do it? With the fare diagram. I know that Grace Gospel has done the fares for years, I believe. Just a simple presentation with John 3:16. This is in our Alaska room. That's Ginny Kerr from Duluth, and that's a Filipino seafarer. Here's Allison Lachlan sharing with a man from India. She's very effective at sharing the gospel message. Also, here's Nick Kerr, and he led a number of people to the Lord last summer. And again, you can see he likes to give them the how to grow spiritually if they are born again or they come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Nick was so busy, he ended up in the hospital last summer. Actually, he had heart conditions. We weren't sure what it was when he got there. He was quite tired and things, but it showed that he had heavy blockage in his heart, and he went up and had quadruple bypass surgery in the summertime in Anchorage. And so we're thankful. Hopefully, he'll be able to come back next year. This is Cassandra and then their granddaughter, Ayla. This guy's name was Gary. His wife was Raquel. He had marriage issues, so I shared with him my marriage diagram that I draw. From that, he wasn't saved, so I shared salvation, and I believe he trusted Christ and was eager to bring that back to his wife in the Philippines. Here's my chronological diagram that everything starts with God. He created the world, Adam and Eve. The garden here, the lie, they accepted it. They became sinners. They deserve judgment and hell. It was passed on to Cain and Abel. Religion is constantly trying to work their way up to God, whether it's good and evil, Ten Commandments, or even it's a reincarnation up to God. But only God could come down to us in Jesus Christ, who is God, became a man, died for our sins. Whoever believes in Him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. It's a free gift. It comes through the Savior. He saves us, and so forth. And this helps especially the Asians or even Europeans who don't have a Bible background at all. Again, the faces around the mission kitchen, that's Don and Pensri, his wife. They're from Anchorage area. They volunteer in the early spring. There's my beautiful wife in the center there. And we have all of these pictures that we take of them, and we associate them with different ships. And they love it. So they want their picture taken, and then a couple weeks later when they come back, we can post it up there for them. This is our Alaska room. We've got a grizzly or a brown bear here, and this is an Eskimo coat and some furs to feel. And just so they can experience Alaska, and it gives them another reason to come to the mission. This is right up the valley. I would say that's a 900 to 1,000-pound bear right up 6 miles from the mission or so. This one's a little bit smaller, but you can see the claws in the soft mud there. That's up the valley. But we're not usually walking around in fear of the bears. They stay up. They eat salmon, go into the woods and sleep, come out at nighttime, eat salmon, go back in the woods and get fat all summer long. Kind of like the tourists, you know. But anyways, no. People, first thing they ask a lot of times, new to Alaska, my first cruise to Alaska, are there any bars here? I said, well, downtown, but no, bars. You mean bears? Bears! Oh, yeah, bears. They're everywhere. Stay on the mission. We'll save you. No. But I saw this over at the gate where you get onto the ship. Don't try and fight a bear with your hands. It's ineffective, you know. And so, when Beth and I... Yeah. When Beth and I go into the woods, we usually try and carry a gun, you know. But you can see they run at 30 to 35 miles an hour. Look at those claws here. The cubs are waiting. Mama, get them, Mama, get them. And so they're very powerful animals. God created them to catch and to kill. And they're very frightened of us, actually. They stay out of the way. Sometimes you encounter them, and that's when problems happen. But actually, more people are killed by moose every year in Alaska than bears. So, but when they get a fish, they get them. They love the salmon, and we have salmon, so we have bears in the area. But again, like I said, we carry guns. My wife loves to pick blueberries. This was a spruce hen, and I don't know, what did you pick? 200 pounds of blueberries or something this year? Oh. Over 100, yeah. No, we had 4 boxes of berries, I think, wasn't it? Almost 3. So 150 pounds of berries, yeah. But there's moose. This is a monster. He almost could cover one whole lane there, maybe 1,200 pounds. There's another big moose, and there's a rear-end view just to see the size of them. I mean, they're just massive. One man told me, shooting a moose is like shooting your neighbor's car. So this guy is huge. We just got on the roadkill list. So the state troopers, if a moose is killed, they'll call the first person on the list, and you have to rush out there and, and help butcher it and bring it in and so forth. This is Denali. Alaska's famous for Mount McKinley. They don't call it Mount McKinley anymore. It's Denali. So the big one it's called. These were some volunteers that came to the Fall Bible Conference. We didn't get quite every one of them, but had a lot from the sister churches of the Grace Gospel Bible Church. So here's another variety of the volunteers there. I don't know if I have Stephanie any pictures of you this summer. I'm sorry. But Pensri here, she's a Thailand originally. She was Buddhist. She was saved in Anchorage years ago. She's very eager, very good volunteer. And Christina Bach, she's from Duluth. These are some Spanish-speaking South American musicians, and we were able to share the gospel with them. We're not sure if they trusted Christ, but they came, cooked at the mission, made it their home, enjoyed their time there. This man right here, I don't know if my pointer works, but this is Derry. Yeah, there we go. Derry, he is Muslim. He's been there the last 3 years, heard the gospel over and over again. He's now dating a Christian girl, but he can't marry her unless she converts. But we've had a number of good conversations. And somebody is friends with him on Facebook, and they saw this post. So he's participating right here in the Muslim Fellowship on the ship. So 3 years ago, I was kicked off a ship because I witnessed to a Muslim, and he got so angry, he went to the authorities. I think it was the staff captain, and they wrote me an email and said, you're not welcome any longer on the ship. So I really do have to be careful. These are Holland America ships, because they're loaded with Indonesians, which is the largest Muslim nation in the world. And it's in Southeast Asia. Here we have some more volunteers over the summer. And do you remember this man's name, Beth? Okay, he's an Indonesian, but he trusted Christ last year. And between last year and this year, they had a major tsunami or earthquake. I can't remember what the details were, but a number of his family members died. And so it was very unfortunate, but anyways, so music is huge at the mission. We have a church service, and we had, a music major, Linnea and Allison, they're all music majors. And of course, my wife, she's played piano for a number of years also. And so we have a lot of opportunity to minister and enjoy music with the saints. Here is dinner. There's pork chops. I had, 35 pork chops on the grill, and they had been waiting 2 weeks for this pork chop dinner. They said, please, can we? I said, what do you want? It's your last day in port. We had great fellowship with these men. A number of these men here had trusted Christ as their Savior, and so we had a last dinner, a last meal before the Jewel, Norwegian Jewel, sailed. Sometimes they like to cook their own fish on the grill. We provided it for them, and then they had their steaks also. And they come and they cook their own. This is Ayla. She was chef of the day. This was Eggs Benedict one morning. The ladies were making guacamole. Last year we had nice weather, so we ate a lot out on the deck. Music again outside with the ladies. You'd be surprised. You just find some commonality with them, and you can usually get to a spiritual conversation. You have to have some boldness. This is Jerwin, thank you. Jerwin, he loved the tambourine, but he could not hold a beat. So my wife was playing, Allison was playing, and it's just like, no, forget it. Anyways, he was so offbeat. He was so offbeat, we were all so distracted in the songs. But we had a good time. His friends over here were laughing even, We were trying to be polite and not laugh at him, but this went on for 8 weeks. Every time he comes back, we're singing, having a church service, and he's way offbeat, and he's got that tambourine. I remember one time Allison had come, and it was her first time playing with Jerwin, and she's playing, and all of a sudden he's just offbeat, and I'm over to the side, and she turns over, and she goes, oh, we had a good time. This is Billy. He trusted Christ, I believe it was 3 years ago, on the ship. And he brought his friend, and we just had a great time of fellowship. Esme, 40-something-year-old Filipina gal, had been saved years ago, never been baptized, and she asked if she could be baptized. So the little lake up above the mission, we had a baptism, and she was baptized. All of her friends came, joined in with us. We celebrated, sang some songs, and then this was at the mission when we were all done from it. It's a very celebratory time, and it's encouraging. And sometimes when one of their other crew members sees someone get baptized, they'll even say, "Can I get baptized in 2 weeks?" or so forth. So this was actually the captain of one of the ships that was so thrilled with what we were doing that he came over. He wanted to see what was going on at the mission. They eventually gave us, I think it was $500 or $1,000 from their own crew welfare fund to help support the mission. This was the human resource manager, Christiana, and her husband. He's in charge of all the excursions with the Zodiacs, the adventure excursions. And you can see she had materials in her hand. I've shared the gospel with her for years. She stopped by, but this time she came over and wanted to see how it was going at the mission. This was Timmy. He was on board, one of the chefs. He trusted Christ as his Savior. Again, there's a singing picture. This gal was Chinese. Riz? Can't remember her name exactly. But they just get goofy, you know. They get off the ship. They wear bear hats, probably bought it down at the tourist shop, and just having a good old time. Sometimes they give us an appreciation. Here was T-shirts and pens one day, so we all put them on. I said, "Let's take a picture. I'll send it by email to the ship, show them that we appreciate those things." This was George. He hadn't been to the mission since 2014, but he was the only musician on the ship. He played piano, and it was a small 140 guests or 60 guests, only one. But he starts a fellowship every time he's on the ship. This time he only had 3 members, but he was trying to include more. Bert Spaeth took him into the trailer there and downloaded everything onto a stick drive so he could teach. Resources, anything we can do to spread the word of God. I like this saying from Elizabeth Freeman: "I hope you will be a missionary wherever your lot is cast, Edina, Twin Cities, for it makes but little difference after all where we spend these few fleeting years, if they are only spent for the glory of God. Be assured there is nothing else worth living for." And I share this because Purr was a fisherman who was retired in Seward, old man, and I ended up coming in contact with him through our fishing hole, and he trusted Christ after 4 years of sharing the gospel, giving the stranger book. His wife is right here between our shoulders. She fishes on the beach. He sits with his dog and watches us, and so I've become friends with him. Wherever your lot is cast, reach out. When it says go into all the world, it doesn't necessarily take your feet somewhere. It's wherever you are, you do the initiative. You initiate a conversation, a spiritual discussion. And so this gal was a homeless, or I call them vagabonds. They're just wandering through Alaska. California coast, Oregon, they're all coming up, the homeless. And they're ending up, many of them, at the mission. And we seek, if we give them something, food-wise or physical, we want to share the gospel here. And so Ginny's sharing the testimony with them. This is Luke. He's from Australia, Philippines, Indonesia. And we have a nice fellowship time there. That's after the singing and the preaching. This is a Chinese gal. She came, heard the gospel at the mission. These are Indonesians. They came every evening after their work was done before the ship sailed. They were deckhands or they were engine workers. This gal was from China. She was with her friend here. I started up a conversation simply by saying, "Would you be interested in a book that explains Christianity to you? I have it in English and I have it in Chinese." And she said, "Sure." And she really didn't even understand Christianity. So I drew her my chronological diagram. This is Chinese book, stranger, and this is English. This is her friend there. So shared the gospel with her. I'm not sure if she believed or not. Her understanding was very limited, had hardly even heard the name of Jesus. But here they are, the 3 gals from China who came to the mission there. These were 2 more Chinese that came to the mission. They're coming more and more on the ships, the Chinese. Josh and Linnea are now engaged. He came up for a week. That's Casey's brother. You can see the the smoke there. That's one of the reasons I showed you this picture. Just for almost a month, it was on and off, encasing the mountains. You couldn't even see them because of it last summer. These are Europeans that heard the gospel through Ginny. She said one was very questioning and antagonistic. The other was wide open, the musicians from Europe. Pastor Roxer just had a great time. We made him do nothing except talk to people and share the gospel. And he didn't drive. He didn't do much. He just went from person to person, shared the gospel. And so, again, over and over, we have these opportunities to share Christ. This was a church service up in Whittier. These men are Italians who participated there. Tony Shannon, he shared the gospel with this young cadet from England. We believe he trusted Christ as his Savior. Pastor and Nancy, we had a church service, and then off to the ship they went. This musician, they went and listened to on board. What was his name again?
Jake.
Yeah, he came every day their ship was in port. Heard the gospel. He might have trusted Christ. He's from the U.S. Then pastor had an opportunity at the Oikumene. That's the Indonesian gathering. Here's bad news for good people. Here's our survey. They got all sorts of materials. He shared the gospel there with them. This was a musician. Beth uses her musical talents to interact with them. And what was his name?
Big John,
okay. Very appropriate. This is Evol from Panama. He was a first officer right up there in the ranks. That's three from the captain. And he and I had great fellowship. He was a believer from Panama, and he wanted to go up the mountain one afternoon. I said, okay, I'll go up halfway with you. Well, then you get halfway, and he goes, Scott, we have to go to the top. So we went up to the top. In many cases, what God wants is not a monetary or money contribution, but personal consecration to His service abroad. Or the giving up of a son or daughter, more precious than silver or gold, to His service. No amount of money can convert a single soul. What is needed is that men and women filled with the Holy Spirit should go give themselves to the work. J. Hudson Taylor. You know, God is just asking us to yield. That's it. Okay, Lord, here I am. Use me. Send me. One little baby step can lead to more steps. And wherever, I mean, you could have never told me 20 years ago that I would be living in Seward, Alaska, doing what I'm doing. But I believe just one step at a time, and the Lord kind of directs you with your talents and backgrounds. And so again, church services, very encouraging. This was soccer with Europeans and South Americans. We had 10 of us. I played, believe it or not. And look at the beauty that we had there. These men were from the Viking Orion, spent 3 days and 2 nights in port. Never before has this happened in Seward, but they're a riverboat ship from Europe. They said, we're expanding to the Alaska market, so they would come now for 3 days and 2 nights. It was spectacular. We got to minister to them. They started to order Amazon things, and it just kept coming. They ordered and ordered and ordered. This was Avela. She was a South African chef from the ship, believer in Christ. We encouraged her, helped clarify some things, had great fellowship. This is Rio and Michael. They wanted to go for a bike ride. I took them one afternoon for an hour and a half bike ride around the port and up in the mountains. They wanted basketball. We arranged basketball at the community college for them. We gave them resources. Pastor ministered to them. This is Walter. Yeah, I don't know where that came from, but rock star. On the ship and off the ship. There's at the mission, and there's Walter on the ship. So multiple contacts with these people. Just wonderful. This is the Viking Orion again. This is Ardell. This was our server on board. This is an Indonesian gal, a Chinese gal. So you just see around the world. This guy was from South Africa, Colombia. And he was Jehovah's Witness, he was. So he wasn't real receptive, but it was just a great time. They had us, special guest, chaplain on board. So I got to share at 2 services in the evening, 11 o'clock till 1. One time we were there till almost 2 in the morning. They were so appreciative, they said, we want to have the whole volunteer crew go on and we from the mission, and we're going to serve them dinner in their specialty restaurant. Yeah, it was wonderful. Just absolutely wonderful. We took a picture up there on the deck of the Viking Orion. The cheapest berth is $1,000 a day on this ship. Spectacular ship inside. So then we had our fellowship afterwards. I preached the gospel or some Christian life truths, and We sang some songs together. In fact, Michael trusted Christ and he says, I want to be baptized. So we baptized him there again in the lake and celebrated together our new life in Christ. Oh, the water was very cold. Yeah. See the snow on the whoops. See the snow on the mountains? It's cold. Yeah, it's cold. That's what I always say. I don't know what he's celebrating there. He's finished with it or he's celebrating his new life in Christ. Yeah. Mundane things, making coffee, baking cookies, washing the vans, cleaning up after the seafarers. But then we do get to go fishing. Remember I said this is two blocks from the mission. The cruise ship is right out in front of you. This is about 4:45 or 5 a.m. in the morning. And we're fishing there down there. Pastor and Nick Kerr had a chance. Those are red salmon. This is across the bay over there at a different river. This was in the evening. They were able to go after the ships was leaving. In fact, I think you can see the cruise ship leaving right there. So, again, they had some other opportunities there. This was a very good day. We had our limits there that night. We fillet them and then we serve them to the seafarers or some of them end up coming home. So we just are very thankful. The ocean comes to Seward, Alaska. And in the spring and the fall, we catch fish and then we serve it to them. This was an opportunity. We had a day off and a man from the church there in town said, come on, I'll take you out fishing if you want to. And Michael Pearson and I got to go. We got a 18, I think, salmon that day. So there was a nice monster king salmon. That's, again, about 6:30 in the morning there. Beautiful calm there. Doesn't happen all the time, you know, maybe a dozen of those all summer long, but that's pretty good anyway. So then we, Cassandra here, filled them, baked them, we served them. The folks love them. These are halibut. That's halibut Olympia. Then we bought a smoker this last summer and we smoked up the fish and I'd put it in the morning and serve it for lunch when we were on board. And the guys loved it. This guy was wide open to spiritual things. He was a believer in Christ and he is an Indian from India and he was working on an arranged marriage. He says, Pastor Scott, I need to ask you something. My wife is not very favorable towards spiritual things. In fact, she gets angry at me when I open the Bible and talk to her. Not his wife, but this arrangement. And I said, that's really serious. So we had a long talk, and I'm not sure if he married her or not, but it was very delightful. This is up in Whittier. You can see it's a little more of an apartment rather than a home, but we could still have good food, fellowship, and this is a church service there. Many times we'll run down and have a campfire as the ship is sailing on a night, and we'll roast hot dogs and so you can see as the ships are leaving, we can enjoy a little freedom at night there. So you can see there as the ships there on Seward. This is my little baby sister and Rick Schwengler. But again, just some pictures. You can see their faces of enjoying the mission at the volunteers. Natalie there, she was wide open to spiritual things. But she was a broken person, you know. She was waiting on a guy from Sweden to come back and work on the ship. And I don't know if he'll ever come back. So, but Cassandra very much helped her. Bongi Way, South Africa. She trusted Christ as her Savior at the mission through Bert Spaeth. This young man on the ship, his buddy then, he goes, you need to talk to my friend. He's a Baptist pastor's son, had a 50% chance of going to heaven, but he trusted Christ. He had 100% assurance after that. Yoko is from the Oikumene. He was Roman Catholic, had no idea. He says, nobody can know they're going to heaven. He knew after about 50 minutes of conversation with the Bible open. Trust Lord, and that same man that I was referring to, he's from South Africa, raised by a missionary kid because his parents died in a car accident, and just really a delight. He wants to come and volunteer at the mission. Jeanette Seal on the far left, she's been doing this for 38 years. This guy got saved on board, and I got stories and stories. This is the crew welfare leader with their Christian fellowship and all their different things. And we got to minister to the performers. They came to the mission. We listened to them on board. They'd have a set while the guests were coming on, and it was very delightful to minister on the ship. Another fellowship leader. This guy got saved 3 years ago. He married an unbeliever. I told him a year ago, I wouldn't do that. Married her anyways. This summer she got saved. Praise the Lord, from Indonesia. She was Hindu before. So again, lots of faces. A human resource manager from England, Riz. Cree from India, North India. Spa people, chefs. Brazil, India, the ice cream people, chefs. This man had a heart attack, went to Anchorage 10 years ago, got saved in the hospital through a volunteer of the mission. So just the Lord uses us. This is the last picture. This is Green. He was a bad boy. His dad became a pastor when he was 6 years old. They sold everything. They went from a beautiful house to living in the church. His bedroom became a closet, and he became embittered. Was a gang member at 16, left his house, and should have been dead, he said. And at 40 years old, he finally got humbled, trusted Christ. He's been on the ship for 16 years. He's 56 years old, whether you believe it or not. And boy, did he have a story, but he was so passionate to lead the fellowship and get the gospel out. So thank you. I know I went a little bit long. I'm sorry about that. But do you want me to pray, Pastor? Yeah, thanks for... Heavenly Father, we are in awe at what You have done in the cross with Jesus Christ. We are in awe about who we are in Christ. We are in awe, Lord, how much You love us. And may You be honored and glorified in the secret parts of our thoughts and priorities of our hearts, but not only that, in the actions and the choices we make. And we just thank You how You have used the Alaska mission to bring many to the saving knowledge of Christ. Pray that You continue to use Pastor Dave and the leadership here at Grace Gospel, and many could be built up in the faith and matured, and that through this more and more can be going. We pray for the Philippines and this trip with Joe and the others that are going. Pray for Your will to be done there and prepare the way. And by faith we trust You and want to walk in Christ on this trip. Thank You again now for the fellowship we have in the gospel, and we bring the praise and the honor and the glory for what You have done and You are doing in our lives. In His name we pray. Amen.